peace transforms our lives, enabling us to know and love the God who created us, to live freely in accordance with his will, and to cooperate in building a truly human and fraternal society.
Why do I have to go to Mass? Why don't priests marry? Is it absurd to believe in God in today's world? These are just some of the questions that Vatican Radio will be putting to Monsignor John Kennedy, an official from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, in a new series running throughout the Year of Faith. It's a way of helping people along as they respond to Pope Benedict XVI's invitation to all of us to deepen our knowledge of why we believe what we believe. The Holy Father is also encouraging us to seek out answers to questions of faith by picking up the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This, he says, gives us the food for thought that we are all seeking. So if you have any questions, big or small, questions that you have always wanted to ask but never have, this is your chance. You can send them on to Monsignor Kennedy at our email address, news@vatiradio.va, or on Vatican Radio English Section's Facebook page, and tune in each Tuesday to find out the answers to your questions of faith. Welcome to another episode of Questions of Faith with our very own official from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, accompanying us throughout the Year of Faith with answering all those questions, big or small, that arrive here at Vatican Radio from our listeners worldwide. This week, we're looking at a very complex question, but a very interesting one that arrived in the inbox, or indeed on Facebook, our Facebook page, Vatican Radio English Section. And our listener writes, I would like to know the theological aspect of the modern world. What is the place of Christ in the modern world? Now, generally, most people, when they hear the word theology or theological, they go, oh, no, that's not for me, that's not for me. That's for priests and bishops and professors, etc., etc. Were you able to put a very complex question into very simple terms for our listener?
Let me try.
It was from South Africa, of all places.
It's a superb question. I was really captivated by this great question that we received, and especially the words that the person used to frame his question. I suppose theology is the study or the knowledge of God, coming from the two words, from God and knowledge. And I would like to maybe quote the listener's own words. He said, the place of Christ in the modern world. And this is a very clear reminder to those theologians who would be very familiar with the document from the Second Vatican Council called The Church in the Modern World. This goes back to 1965. It was promulgated or released on the 7th of December in that year by Pope Paul VI. And in the original Latin title, it was called Gaudium et Spes, meaning joy and hope. The document is a fairly long document. It contains 93 different paragraphs, and it has a very particular structure. Just to introduce to you what the structure is, it has an introduction. It's followed then by a discussion on the situation in which the Church had found itself at that time, so in the mid-1960s. And the last part then was a discussion of very specific and very special problems that people at the time were facing in the Church. If I could maybe give our listeners some homework, if that's possible, over the airwaves, it would be great if our listener could actually download the entire document. If you go to any of the search engines, or you go to the Vatican website, that's www.vatican.va, and choose the English language section, in the search engine on the top right-hand side, you can put in the word Gaudium et spes. Or if you put in 7th of December 1965, you will be able to find the document and read it in its entirety. You can download it, you can save it to a file, you could read it maybe in a paragraph or two per day. And this way, it might give our listeners great food for thought and great options for conversation with their parishioners and those in their community.
Gaudium et Spes, or Hope and Joy, was written in 1965. Now, in church terms, that's not a long time ago, but in reality, it's 50 years ago, because we're marking the 50th anniversary of the beginning of the Second Vatican Council this year. How relevant is that document to the modern world today?
Gaudium et Spes wasn't looking at small questions. It looked at those really big, relevant, heartfelt questions, you could say, that affect people in every time, in every country. Those, I would say, perennial questions that we all have. If you look at paragraph 12 and you read up to paragraph 22, they're talking there about the dignity of the human person. That never goes out of fashion. If you move on to the next section, we speak about the community of mankind. We live in a world which is growing closer and closer in terms of community and networking. We find travel easier these days. We're in touch with many more people. I'm thinking of, for example, people my own parents' generation. They wouldn't have known people outside the world of their own parish community or maybe outside their own country. But now, I think everybody's address book contains people from different time zones and from different languages. Then we move on from that in paragraphs 33 to 39, and that deals with man's activity throughout the world. When I was growing up, maybe you were too, we never heard of the word globalization. Didn't know what that meant. We didn't realize that an action that we would have or something that we would do in our own country would have a worldwide repercussion, or that something happening very far away would actually impact on our daily lives as well. And so you can see how the church was slightly ahead of things, really, even back then in 1965. And then in the last section, in the first part, you have the role of the church in the modern world, dealing with paragraphs 40 to 45. So they deal with the big, broad issues, and then it deals in the next section with some very small, specific issues.
Can you just describe some of those specific issues for us and whether they would be still relevant today?
Well, in the document, we see that the title of these special questions were problems of special urgency. So your attention is immediately focused or piqued in some way. And so you have here, the first one would be fostering the nobility of marriage and the family. Families have changed a lot in the last 40 or 50 years. But there was the church saying, listen, marriage is something not just special or nice, but it's actually noble. So it speaks about the profound calling to the sacrament of marriage, which Christians have always valued down through the years, and also family. Then we have the expansion of that, not just being the importance of the family and marriage and children, but also the proper development of culture, which is how the values of the church, how the values of family, all those good things that we hold to be true and right, spill over then into society and nourish and are weaved in through the fabric of society. I suppose in many ways delineating the sort of values that the society holds in general. And then in the next section, you have a discussion of the economic and social life. I mean, how relevant is that today? You watch the news every single day and you see how, I don't know, economic crisis, depression, slowing down of the economy, an increase in the amount of unemployment. We get percentages and statistics. And here was the church saying back in the 1960s about economic and social life, which then spills over again to the next level, which is paragraph 73 to 76, the life of the political community. The political community is so important for the good of society, for upholding the common good, for promoting everybody's rights, for letting everybody know what their duties are, to thinking about other people, to the respect of law, for, you know, a person's right to actually have a fair trial, all of those things. And then the next section, really critical and extremely timely, 79 to paragraph 82, the avoidance of war. I mean, you can't open a newspaper these days without seeing war and violence in one part of the globe or the other. And then the last part, concluding the document, is a discussion on setting up an international community. We in Europe have experienced the growth and the stability and the benefits that the European community has brought to us on an economic and social and cultural level. But here was the church back in the 1960s at the, I suppose, the dawn, really, after the Second World War and following the United Nations and the kind of the growth towards a movement where there wouldn't be war again in Europe, which, thank God, hasn't happened.
But bringing it down to basics, you're speaking about what the church has to say about modern world, about the modern world. What has Christ got to do with all of this? Where's his place in everything that you're saying here? To answer more directly the question that came from our listener in South Africa.
Okay, so if you distill all of these things and you come down to the bare knuckle question, what the church always believes is that Christ, who died and was raised for all, can, through his Holy Spirit, offer all of us the light and the strength to measure up to our supreme destiny, first of all, because we see that Christ is the key to everything that we do. He is the focal point. He's the goal of all of our activities, whether it be social, political, cultural, religious, spiritual, whatever you want to talk about. He is, in fact, the goal of all of human history. And so beneath all of the changes, there are many realities that don't change and which have their ultimate foundation on Christ, who, as the Jubilee logo for the year 2000 said, is the same yesterday, today and forever. And maybe to answer our listener's question more specifically, maybe I can just quote you from a paragraph from the document. It says, "Never has the human race enjoyed such an abundance of wealth, resources and economic power. And yet, a huge proportion of the world's citizens are still tormented by hunger and poverty, while countless numbers suffer from total illiteracy. Never before has man had so keen an understanding of freedom, yet at the same time, new forms of social and psychological slavery make their appearance. Although the world of today has a very vivid awareness of its unity, and of how one man depends on another in needful solidarity, it is most grievously torn in opposing camps by conflicting forces. For political, social, economic, racial and ideological disputes still continue bitterly, and with them the peril of a war which would reduce everything to ashes. True, there is a growing exchange of ideas, but the very words by which key concepts are expressed take on quite different meanings in diverse ideological systems. Finally, man painstakingly searches for a better world without a corresponding spiritual advancement."
All over the world right now, we have what Pope Benedict XVI has described as a creeping relativism, a secularization of society, the idea that no religion is better than any one religion. It's better to have a pluralistic society that takes all discussion of anything religious, anything about God, anything about Jesus Christ out of the public arena. So how do we as Christians, how can we as Christians counter this without falling into the trap of becoming, in and of ourselves, aggressive aggressors?
I think the first thing we should try and do is become aware of this. If you're not aware of what's going on, well, then you can allow yourself to be swayed this way or that way. You can allow a current or an idea that's prevalent in society to take hold and to guide you in your life. You almost need a compass. And the church is trying its best to reach out to people and say, look, the compass is Christ. He is the one who is going to always guide you in the right direction. He's the one who will give you the encouragement, the teaching, the forgiveness, and the direction that's going to help you to stay afloat in a sea that's filled with all sorts of different temptations and initiatives that look great but really are rather empty. We get so caught up with trends and fashion. I know some old people who take out from the wardrobe something that they had in the 1960s because it's actually back in fashion. And fashion changes and it comes and it goes. But what we need is to have that sensitivity towards that which is unchanging. That's why Peter was called the rock. We need that sort of strength and that foundation. The apostles, the saints, the teaching of the church, the magisterium of the church, the wonderful, beautiful traditions of our church, which help us to keep firm in a sea of change. And Christ shows us the mystery of our lives and teaches us how to cooperate with God in finding the solution to the outstanding problems of our time. In a time of cultural and social transformation, the church can and does respond to the perennial questions which men ask about in this present life, and also about the life to come, and about the relationship that we as Christians have with one another. This is the place of Christ in the modern world. For us, Christ is the centre.
Monsignor John Kennedy, thank you very much for answering our question from our listener in South Africa.
It's a pleasure, Eimear.
We'll see you next week.
God bless you. Bye-bye.